The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program
on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so two number one seeds making it to the Elite Eight in Virginia and Gonzaga, and they will be joined by two, three seeds in Purdue and Texas Tech. Down goes Michigan, down goes Tennessee, Florida State's runs over, and the 12-seed Oregon Ducks are done. Now, tonight, you've got North Carolina taking on what I think is the hottest team in the tournament. That's Auburn. I wouldn't want to play Auburn. I mean, they can hit threes, and they'll shoot a ton of them, and if they start knocking them down, especially Bryce Brown, they're going to be a really, really tough out for North Carolina. And North Carolina is very good. Don't get me wrong. They're very good and very versatile, and they'll play any style of basketball you want. But sometimes a team catches fire. UConn did this a number of years ago, where they are just a tough, tough team to get out of the tournament, and they'll just knock you out. And I think Auburn has that potential. Duke, I don't think Duke is going to have any trouble with Virginia Tech. With Zion Williamson, they didn't have him the last time they played Virginia Tech, but they have him now. I don't think they'll have any trouble with Virginia Tech. But I think, to me, and this is, again, personal, there's just the way I evaluate stuff. The game I'm really looking forward to seeing tonight is Houston against Kentucky. Because I think that this is the kind of game for Houston that gets people to finally give them the recognition that they deserve. Now, some of you aren't on the Houston train yet, and you should be. And I know many people are on the Kentucky train, because that's been going on for years and years and years. But Houston is an outstanding team, and P.J. Washington is going to be the key for Kentucky. If he plays, all right, then we've got a different kind of game. But if he doesn't, that's our leading scorer. And I think Kentucky's very vulnerable. And I think that Houston can make this upset. Now, I think Houston can make an upset with P.J. Washington in the lineup. I think they're that good. But without him, I think Houston is primed for advancing. Now, this is a 3-2 matchup. So when I use upset, I use it very loosely here. This is not like Houston is an 11 seed or anything like that. But upset in the mindset of, listen, I know some of you out there just aren't paying attention to every college basketball conference that's out there. I know some of you still look and say, I'm more of a Big Ten guy. I'm more of an ACC guy. I'm more of a Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, Gonzaga type of guy paying attention to the top spot. Houston has been climbing up the rankings with a bullet. And if you watch the game tonight, you're going to watch a team that is going to play with Kentucky, is not afraid of the moment, and can make baskets, and they can play against any defense. I think tonight's game against the Wildcats is real going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people how good this Houston team is.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, suffering from knee or back pain? Call 800-608-1881. Learn how a comfortably, nearly invisible brace can solve your pain. 90% satisfaction rating, 800-608-1881, 800-608-1881. 608-1881. So looking at the Sweet 16 games tonight, the one game I didn't mention at the top of the hour, LSU and Michigan State. Good game. I still am a little nervous about LSU. They look like they're rallying. They look like they're coming together, but they've won their first two tournament games. And then again, let me point this out. They're a three seed, okay? So they've won their first two tournament games against Yale and Maryland by a combined 7 points. All right, that's the lowest of any team that's still in the tournament. I mean, that's getting it done by the hair of your chinny chin chin. So they're playing a Michigan State team that's excellent defensively, good basketball. Tom Izzo led Spartans, fantastic, doing what they do. But LSU, again, without their coach Will Wade, Tony Benford taking over the team. This is very much like Steve Fisher. Remember when Steve Fisher took over and at Michigan in the late 80s, and they got through the tournament, won the tournament, beat Seton Hall in the finals. Ramil Robinson, right? No, this was before Fab
Five. Just before the Fab Five?
Yeah, just before Fab Five. Ramil Robinson was the guy. But then they got the Fab Five like the next year or two when they brought them in. But Steve Fisher had taken over that team and midway through the season. So this wasn't the same kind of situation. But he kind of ran that through the tournament. And they won. They won the in 1989, I think. Beat Seton Hall and P.J. Carlissimo. But that led to the Fab Five the next couple of years, and Steve Fisher was at the forefront of that. Got him back to the finals in 92, losing to Duke, and 93, losing to North Carolina in the famous Chris Webber timeout game. Which, by the way, I was watching Uncle Drew, that movie that he's in, plays one of the preacher.
Right.
And there is a reference to that, and he makes a joke about it. Shaq's character says, we don't have any timeouts. And he has a line in it. And I thought that was cool because I thought Chris Webber, that was a sore subject with him, and that he doesn't like talking about it or even addressing it, at his older age.
I think
never got over it.
No, I think he's finally matured about it, I guess.
I had heard that was something he did not want to talk about, never wanted to discuss, that was off the table in interviews that you did with him, even when he was in the media and you wanted to, like, oh, let's have Chris Webber on and talk about the NBA matchups, or let's have Chris Webber on and talk about the basketball, that he would not answer questions about that. Yeah, I thought that was kind of the standard thing. But maybe I was wrong, and maybe it was for a while and he's gotten over it and now we'll talk about it. That's an embarrassing moment, man. That cost you a championship.
Oh, my God.
I mean, first of all, he walked. If you watch the video, he walked and he got away with it because he got the ball. But then he dribbled into the corner, which you don't do. And then he called timeout, which he didn't have. And good for Steve Fisher. Steve Fisher is a hero in that fight because he did not blow a gasket at all. He literally was, all right, that's fine. He had to keep his cool. He knew his job was not only a coach, but he had to be a pick me up to guys who were going to be just devastated, just crushed. One of the more iconic moments in the NCAA finals. So nevertheless, back to LSU for a second. So they're under Tony Benford, seem to be rallying around Will Wade. The fact that Will Wade's gone, he hasn't been dismissed yet. There's a bunch of SEC schools that have lost their coach, have fired their coach. Arkansas, Vanderbilt fired theirs. Alabama fired theirs and just recently hired a guy. So there's a couple of SEC schools who have gone on to, you know, figure out where their next coaching step is going to be. But LSU still has not made a decision on Will Wade as to what exactly they're going to do with him. Maybe they're waiting this out. But Michigan State's is too tough of a team for LSU to beat, I don't think. And LSU is a team that I thought going into the tournament could be super dangerous, and I'm not as high on them anymore. I don't know. There's something about them that they've lost a little of the swagger. But I like Michigan State. Zion Williamson and Duke against Virginia Tech. This should be good games tonight. I'm looking forward to that Houston-Kentucky game. It's going to set the city on fire if they win, man. It's one thing to go to an Elite Eight. It's the one thing to beat Kentucky. Teams love beating Kentucky. You can knock the Wildcats out of the tournament. That's a big deal.
And they're up against it, too. No, this looks like still no P.J. Washington in the game.
As of right now, no P.J. Washington. We'll see.
That's a dangerous Houston team, too.
Very much so. What I was saying at the top of the hour. I think the college basketball landscape is so large, it's hard for a guy in Iowa, Missouri, Michigan, just to pay attention to everybody. But if you're following Houston, If you know this team is really good. I mean, really, really good. And they're capable of beating anybody. I mean, seriously, anybody. They're not afraid of the moment. They're not that kind of basketball team. They will go up and play anybody. And Kentucky, they're loaded with guys. P.J. Washington is their leading scorer that can beat you in a number of different ways. But I think that if you're a Kentucky fan and you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the American Athletic Conference, and you basketball fans in Kentucky are good at that kind of stuff, you know these teams outside even your own SEC, you know that Houston, this is a very dangerous game. And naturally, you would think it because it's a three seed. It's a three seed, but I don't think people even can name two players on the Houston Cougars, like Corey Davis and, you know, Armani Brooks and, you know, what, and players like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that game. And of course, Zion, because Zion's a show. We'll see. So I wouldn't mind seeing Houston get to the Elite Eight.
I think that would be fun.
A little fun, a non-Power Five conference blood into the Elite Eight. Be kind of good.
Mix it up a little bit.
Exactly. I read, now you're closer to the Houston program than I am, obviously, but I read that, and this might be wishful thinking by the people who cover Arkansas, that Kelvin Sampson is up for the Arkansas job.
I've heard that been floating around too.
And the reason is because the athletic director at Arkansas was once the athletic director at Houston, and they kind of work together and they know each other. I will make this statement, and I know I will get shot down by SEC people. I get it. That's not a step-up job to me, going from Houston to Arkansas. Now, I know it's the SEC. It's a Power 5 conference. But I don't know. They seem like, from what I'm reading, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because you're closer to that program and closer to the – it seems like Tillman Fertitta's got some money there. There's some donations coming in. Well, seems like the facilities are better.
He built them a new arena.
Yeah, he built them a new arena. They say it's really awesome. It's nice.
The Fertitta Center.
Good fan base, right?
There's a lot of local flavor. I mean, obviously a lot of graduates from University of Houston still live in Houston. They don't really leave.
Yeah.
So there is a good alumni fan base here who are very excited and energized over what these Cougars are doing.
Yeah, or
what I've learned living down here, the Cougs.
The Cougs.
The Cougs. Also,
I got to think recruiting is better, is easier. Right, you're recruiting in the city, good basketball talent within the city and the surrounding area,
and you make
you're
sure
a successful
you,
program.
You do the recruiting this time of year. You don't bring the recruits out during the summer.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
You bring them out during the summer. They'll just turn around. Like, they won't even get off the plane. They'll be like, "Oh, forget this."
You know what would be interesting though, if Kelvin Sampson did get the job at Arkansas, he would go from one billionaire named arena to another because the Razorbacks play at Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. So a little, you know, work, just the thought, but I don't think it's I don't think it's a step up. Arkansas is a great school, SEC, Power 5, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to be access to a lot of different types of monetary benefits by going to Arkansas, but I don't think it's a step up.
I don't think so either, but I was trying to think of like, the Razorbacks, I mean, there was prestige with them in the early 90s.
Nolan Richardson, 40 Minutes of Hell and all that.
That was it.
Scotty Thurman. And...
But I almost want to say there's more history with Houston.
Yeah, sure.
With Fly Slamajama.
Yeah, Fly Slamajama. Got Clyde Drexler. Hakeem Olajuwon went there, right?
Yeah, a lot of the greats.
Yeah, so you can... Yeah, it's
I
not...
Really, I don't really see... I mean, I guess it's a step up just in the sense that you're stepping up in conference.
Yeah, you're stepping up in conference, right?
And if your prediction is true, where you're figuring SEC is going to be a good powerhouse conference one of these soon.
Yeah, he can be part of that.
Then he can be a part of that. But yeah. We're still talking, I would say, at least 10 years away.
Yeah, here's the deal. I like this Cougars team, and I like the Cougar program and where it's come and how far it's gone. I don't want, you don't want your school to be a stepping stone for something else, right? Like, you don't want people coming in, building something, always with an eye on going somewhere else. It's one thing if you are, let's say you're coaching at Texas, okay? And after a while, you don't like coaching at Texas, right? Well, I don't understand why, because Austin's just a fantastic, fantastic city. But I'm just using them as an example. And let's just say that just drives you nuts, and there's a job opening at, I don't know, USC, and you want to go to USC and you make a lateral move, that's fine, right? That's fine if circumstances are. But what you don't want is you don't want the perception that your school is, well, we can get a guy like Kelvin Sampson to come here, but we're only borrowing him a couple of years until he does really well, and then somebody comes in and swoops him away to a Power 5 conference of a more elite status. I mean, if he left to become the heir apparent at Duke, if Mike Krzyzewski retired, that's one thing. But this doesn't feel like it's a stone-cold step-up move. You've got to take it, right? Billy Gillespie left Texas. I think Billy Gillespie left Texas A&M for Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was he left Kentucky, he got fired from Kentucky and landed at Texas A&M. Whatever. Kentucky is one of those programs that will draw anybody anywhere at any time, no matter where you are.
Yep.
Right? And it doesn't matter. So Kentucky is a step up, not only within the SEC, but it's a step up at any place, anywhere. Okay, Duke is the same way. North Carolina is the same way.
Kansas.
Roy Williams left Kansas, right? Yeah, exactly. And Kansas is like that. But Arkansas is not there. Unfortunately, Arkansas is not that right now. Maybe one down the road it is. And I don't think Houston to Arkansas at this present moment is a no-brainer move up in college basketball ranking.
Especially given the fact of what he's built at Houston. I mean, he's been there for 2 years now, but he's built a solid program in Houston, and
really has.
And one now that, you know, I think people will put on the recruiting map.
33 wins this season. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Amazing. And the AAC is no slouch. I mean, he dealt with Taco Fall there. Cincinnati's a good team. Memphis will give you fits. I mean, there's some bottom feeders in that conference, but some of the teams in that conference are very
really good teams. I would almost
really
say
good. Yes.
I would almost say it's better than the SEC.
I remember I had the commissioner of the conference on a couple of years ago when I was, and I told him flat out, and I told him on the air, I said, I live in Nashville. I have friends of mine that made the weekend trip to Memphis for your conference tournament. Some of them knew about the conference. Some of them didn't. They just wanted to see basketball. All four of them came back home and said they loved every second of it. The basketball was outstanding. They had a great time. UConn was good at the time, so they got to see them. They loved it. There's some good basketball there in the AAC.
And when you think about it, too, like as far as the schools in the AAC, I mean, you also have another coach in Penny Hardaway.
That's right.
Name alone will just draw recruits there.
That's a great point. Great point. All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we roll along on a Friday, we have got Buy or Sell coming up in about 15 minutes. You don't want to miss that. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Hey, you can now earn O-Reward points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll receive a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit O-Rewards.com, become an O'Reilly O-Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Did you see this bit of news about Greg Schiano stepping down on the Patriots coaching staff? He just got the job like 10 minutes ago.
Exactly.
He says he needs
that. I want to do that someday, though.
Me too.
Just take a job and you know what? I'm
really change my mind. I ain't doing this. Needs to spend more time on my faith and family, whatever that means. You know, that's usually code for I didn't really want this in the first place, and I took it, and I thought I'd like it, and it's not going to work out.
Isn't Belichick a defensive guy, right?
Yeah.
That must be a tough role because you really don't have a voice.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe he thought this would be cool. And then he just realized when he got there, I don't really, cause he knows Belichick pretty well. I read that, Schiano coached Belichick's son at, Rutgers. So they're pretty close, but I wonder if it was one of those, I don't want to work for him. Like I know him. I don't want to work for him.
You think he got there and really went up to him? It's like, okay, Belichick, is it really no days off?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a, my daughter is getting married in June. I'm just curious.
Oh, my God. That's great. Yeah, that's probably it. And he was like, we don't have any days off. Yeah, okay. I need to spend more time with my faith and family. Bye. Oh, goodness. Greg Schiano was in the news here where I lived because he was hired to be the new Tennessee head football coach back in 2017. And the people went nuts. I don't know how many people went nuts. It seemed like it was a lot more than was reality. But the university went, all right, no, because he was attached to Penn State in some capacity. There's nothing ever proven that he knew of this or was he knew of Sandusky and never told anybody. But just because he was somehow associated with Penn State, people went crazy and didn't want Tennessee to hire him. And Tennessee capitulated to that and said, nope, we're not going to hire you. And Schiano, I think there was a moment where he was considering a lawsuit. Because he was like, wait a minute, I hired a staff. I was going, you know, I was ready to move, and you pull this out at the last second. No. We have a deal. And I don't know how that went down or if he ever did, but I remember there was a conversation of that actually taking place. But man, people were mad. But this is kind of a weird move because he was with Ohio State, and then he got into the NFL. And now remember, Schiano was also the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he was the one that really came up with the he had this rule change. We were talking about 4th and 15 on onside kicks. He had like 4th and something instead of punting or not punting, kickoffs instead of kicking the ball off. So it would be like an onside kick, or you could punt it away. I gotta look that up. I'm trying to remember it. Like you would get the ball instead of a kickoff, you would get the ball and it would be 4th down and something, and you could either punt it or go for it. So you'd have the onside kick option by going for it on 4th down, or if you just want to kick it away and give it to the other team, you would punt because punts were a lot less injury prone than kickoffs. I think that was the Schiano rule, if I'm not mistaken. He was the one that came up with that. But, you know, he leaves the Patriots. I like your theory. I think he went days off. No, really? And 2 weeks vacation? No days off. God, what a dumb slogan. We'll work you to death. Oh, yay. We'll never stop getting out of the office. Yay. We sleep on cots. Yay. We never see our families. Somebody's scribbling on a piece of paper. Call the police. Right? Help. Get me out of here. I'm a hostage video.
Spelling help and shoulder pads.
Exactly. Come get me. I'm stuck here. He never lets me leave. I can't leave unless the boss leaves and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and the lights are still on. It's like in the Christmas Carol when Bob Cratchit asks for Christmas off. Scrooge is all ticked. Ah. Oh, another day to take a shilling out of a man's pocket. See Belichick. Can we have another piece of coal in the assistant coach's room, please?
I'll knock you for half a day's pay, too.
Exactly. Schiano's like, I'm not doing this.
And
no
be
chance.
Here all the more earlier the next day.
Exactly. We just made Bill Belichick the Scrooge character in A Christmas Carol. How great are we?
Well, let's be real.
I'm sure
here.
Michael in Atlanta is really appreciating us.
Michael in Atlanta knows.
Making the correlation.
He knows. How, could you not see Belichick going, you know, somebody asking him a question, him going, bah, humbug.
Exactly. Completely. Absolutely. Completely.
I mean, what do you think we're on to Seattle? It really is. It's bah, humbug.
Yeah, I know. Completely. Right? If you asked him during the season, you're like, by the way, Bill, Christmas is on Tuesday, and our listeners would love to know, our viewers would like to know, What does the holiday mean to you? It comes on a Tuesday. How are you going to be celebrating? On to Seattle. Well, that's a real cheery holiday-esque answer. Can you expound on that? Assistant coaches are like, I don't see my family. we don't ever see the sunlight except for practices. Jeez, that's got to be awesome. No days. Really, they really chanted that at a parade. As a bragging, they chanted that at a parade. They celebrated a championship by reminding their fan base that they're never, ever, ever going to take time for themselves. So if you were wondering if your team was lazy or wanted to just get away for a while, Bill Belichick was like, no. But, you know, that was just a fun slogan. I'm sure everybody was, you know, had dime off. He was on like Cape Cod with his wife, girlfriend, whoever it is. That's another thing we don't know about Belichick. You and I was talking about that the other day. We don't really even know his marital status. Is he dating that woman that he's always with? Did he marry her? Yeah, he had the girlfriend, the blonde, so he's pictured with?
I don't know.
Gosh.
I know they're together.
I know. I always see that.
I don't know if he's put a ring on it, as the
as the kids say.
No days off.
That's right. No days off. That is why they're successful.
That's why Shiano left.
Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin's like, hey, guys, what do you want to do this weekend? I want 4 days off and a half a day Thursday. And Tomlin's like, yep, all right, no problem. Let's write that down. 4 days off and a half a day Thursday. Being the player's coach that he is, wants to be so light.
Do you guys want to wear pads today? We should wear pads today. No, not today. Okay, I was just thinking about it.
I just thought it would be cool to wear pads. I thought we could run some drills maybe. No? No? Maybe we could go over the playbook? No? Okay, that's cool.
I guess you guys are just going to run around and do what you're going to do your thing, right? Schoolyard football.
So, Greg Schiano, good luck with the faith and family thing. I hope you return back to football in some capacity, whatever capacity that may be. All right, coming up, buy or sell, as Ron will give us the answers to whatever we're thinking about this tournament, about the weekend in sports, coming up next, SB Nation AM.
Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy
or Sell. All right. Ron gives us the buy or sell, and we break it down to figure out if exactly we would take it. So go ahead with your buy or sell for this Friday.
All right, so this Friday we got a little baseball edition.
Baseball buy or sell.
Maybe a little overreaction.
All right,
we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm not really 100% sure where we're going to go with this one.
All right.
Buy or sell number one, we will have someone flirting with the 60 home run mark, but it will not be Aaron Judge, nor will it be someone with the Yankees organization.
Ooh, I'm going to sell. If there was one player I think that could get to 60, it would be Aaron Judge. I could see a number of other players, but I don't know if this year is going to be one of them.
And I figured
I'm going to say sell.
Your second player would probably be Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
Since he came close.
Exactly. Let's see. You know what? Do I get the benefit of buy or sell, like, of looking up statistics or anything like that? Can I utilize, or these are all gut feelings? This
gut.
All right. So Nolan Arenado can hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, that's true. And he lives in a home run friendly park.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, I'm looking at some of the things last year, and Arenado hit 38. That's not close to 60, but you never know. He could get hot. What about Chris Davis out of Oakland? Didn't we play around with the thought process of him last year?
Well,
doing really well. What was his thing?
The thought process, I don't know, was it Chris Davis?
We were paying attention to Chris Davis.
It was Chris Davis home runs versus Oriole wins.
That's right. My God, your memory is really fantastic. That's right. Who would have more wins, the Orioles or Chris Davis with home runs? And he had 48.
Yeah.
So how did that play out, by the way? Do we remember?
I believe the Orioles finished with 46 wins.
Okay, so I think he beat him. All right. Joey Gallo of Texas had 40 last year. JD Martinez had 43. I'm still going to sell this. I think Aaron Judge, and if he's healthy, would be close to the 60, or Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, just correction. Orioles finished with 47 wins.
Okay, guys, so Chris Davis still beat them, though.
Yeah.
Makes the bit
it
even better. Exactly. All right.
So you're selling. Number two, Bryce Harper will, in fact, rebound from his 2-strikeout opening day performance, and Philly fans will once again be cheering his name. I had to put this in there.
I'm gonna sell this. I think he struggles. He strikes out at every at bat the whole season, and he never gets a hit. He bats zero just zero. It'll be August, and you'll be like, really? Bryce Harper hasn't had a hit in 100 games? This doesn't make any sense.
He just doesn't care anymore.
And the manager is going to bench him, and the Philly fans are booing him every chance he gets, and he's going to be openly weeping because he can't figure out why the bat is silent. Yeah, that's fun. You know what I think warmed up Bryce Harper to the fan base yesterday? He really loves being in Philadelphia. He seemed to have an enjoyable time being a Philly.
Wasn't it amazing to see, like, after his second strikeout, Philly fan already turn?
Oh, yeah, really?
It's not surprising.
Well, He left a runner on third, and I think they were pretty ticked off about that.
They were already up.
They were like, hey, listen. Hey, come here. Bryce, here's how we do it here in Philadelphia. That's the ball. You have a bat. You hit the ball and put it in play. That's how we do it here in Philadelphia. All right? Geno's, Pats, it doesn't matter, but you hit the ball here. Golly. We struck out twice, right? And he was 0 for 4, was he?
Oh, he had a walk. 0 for 4. Yeah, he had a walk and a run score. Maybe 0 for 3.
0 for 3 with a run score.
I didn't imagine. Two strikeouts, and now the second strikeout. Philly fan already booed him. I was like, man.
Boo.
That's not surprising.
We're paying you a lot of money.
You were supposed to hit 4 home runs opening day. You
know, God, it would be great. That's what, oh my God, that would have been great. If he had like a 2 home run day yesterday, oh, that place would have been exploding. Yep.
But all the
joy.
Home runs were sent to another ballpark.
That's right.
Speaking of my Dodgers, they will run away with the National League West division.
I'm going to sell that. I think the Rockies are going to be right there with them this year. But I do think the Dodgers win the division, but I think the Rockies are going to be just like last year. I think they're going to be right there with them. But Dodgers are loaded. Rockies better not stumble at any point.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we joked about it. The very opening of the show, we joked about the fact that the Dodgers are going to hit 1,300 home runs.
1,300 home runs.
We know that's not going to be true.
But the Rockies better not stumble. Yeah, right. Exactly. Rockies better not stumble. I think they'll make a run. I think they'll make a run. I think the Dodgers, though, I mean, this is a loaded team. Just looking at them, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a good
and
team.
Young. That's a scary thing, too. It's young. A lot of it's homegrown talent.
Yes, so. That's always the best.
Yep.
So, but I think the Rockies are going to have a good year and keep pace. I think they'll tail off, and the Dodgers win it mid-September, but they're there. They're hanging around.
Right out of the gate, Tigers pitcher Jordan Zimmermann took a perfect game into the 7th inning.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, the over-under for this year on no-hitter perfect games, I'm just combining it to one category,
yep,
will be set at 4.5.
Ooh, that's really good. Where'd you come up with that number, by the way? Do you have your... Don't want to reveal your secrets?
I don't want to reveal my secrets, but...
It's like 11 herbs and spices?
You know, I went off the fact that there was 3 last year, but one in 2017, 1 in 16, but then 5 in 2015 or something like that.
Yeah, sometimes we get years where we get a lot of them.
And I'm
like
just
no
saying...
No hitters.
Just saying, like right out of the gate, when we had a guy pitching a perfect game. Which hadn't been done since Bob Feller did it in 1960-something.
Yeah, I'm going to buy the over. I'm going to be optimistic on the pitching this year. I'm going to buy the over on that. I think it'll be 5. So I'm going to take the over on that. Let's write that down. And see if
it's
then I'll deny it.
It's
then
locked away.
I'm buying the pitching. I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to buy the pitching. 5 is a lot of no-hitters, though, for a season.
5 is a lot of no-hitters in a season.
So I'm taking a chance.
But, I mean, it's kind of funny, though, because, you know, we had that going on. We had a guy flirting with a perfect game and then an offensive power surge going on in L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
Where Greinke couldn't keep the ball in the park.
Right.
Ray would have been better off if Greinke just turned around and was like, oh, you again? I'm just going to throw it out.
Yeah.
Save some embarrassment. Here we go. This one might be interesting to you. Although they might end up regretting it, the Padres having Fernando Tatis Jr. on their opening day roster is actually a good move.
I saw that and I liked the move. And I know there's people who are going to say they don't. But I like the move.
It's that whole Chris Bryant.
Okay. Right. Thing, you know, you get a guy, you keep a guy in the minors till
like
a certain point. Right. And then you bring him up and then it doesn't count towards his inevitable free agency.
And then
the year doesn't count.
Yeah. Then you get a whole extra year.
Exactly. The Braves did the same exact thing with Ronald Acuna Jr. Yeah. last year. Right. They sent him down to Gwinnett. Everyone's like, why you send him down to Gwinnett? He had like the best spring of any player. Like, relax. He's coming back. But we do this and we get to keep him for a while before he hits free agency. I liked the idea. I like you just want to show everybody you're in, but there is a strategic move here that you can explain away. I think would settle with most fans.
Right.
I think most fans would go, of course.
That's
sure.
why the whole thing was, you know, you like the move, but the Padres will end up regretting it.
Yeah.
Because
I can see that
the season, I mean, it's usually it's like a 2-3 week, window. Where you don't have him on the roster. The season's not going to be decided in 2 or 3 weeks.
Nope, not at all.
And it doesn't matter. You're not going to, you know, the Padres, they're not going to be a team that is going to be in contention after 2 or 3 weeks. Or they couldn't, there isn't a conceivable way of, like, say, after the All-Star. We've seen so many teams after the All-Star break just get hot and put themselves in that contention. And, you know, battle back from being a bunch of games back. So I was a little surprised. I mean, I liked it. I liked it, I mean, because it's more old school.
Yeah, it thought is. Process. You're absolutely right.
I'm just like, you know what? Hey, we're just going to start our best team forward, and we're going to go with it instead of, you know, playing the money game, the numbers game. But in the end, I mean, we're talking like, you know, 2-3 weeks, and he could have – they would have him at a whole nother year at what, the minor league minimum or whatever. I don't even know what the price is, but it would have been a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it is a really bold move. I don't know what the state is. The statement, hey, we're all in. We're ready to win now, today. Today's the day.
I guess
maybe
so.
That's the way. But again, this is if you put him down in the minors and you say, listen, this is one of the top prospects in baseball. Okay, guys, if we just do this for a period of time, we get to keep him for a little bit longer. Oh,
I'm sure he was surprised.
I'm sure he was too.
Like, really? You're keeping me up? I figured you're probably sitting there going, I figured I'd be here for another 2-3 weeks. Easy.
Yeah, and I think it's like mid-April, right? We were just about 2 weeks. Yeah, so you put him down there, boom. But and it's sellable to the fan base because the fan base are like, oh yeah, why would you waste?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I get it. So interesting move by the Padres. Right. I like it, but I understand that the business decision should have taken precedent.
All right, moving right along. Not only will Tim Tebow be called up by the Mets this season, we will in fact hear his name in the Rookie of the Year conversation.
Oh, I am selling that. Hold on. Can I buy the first part and sell the second part?
Yes, you can.
It's like, Ron, if you're at a restaurant and they go, hey, we're sorry that your meal is undercooked. We want to give you a free dessert. And you get like, okay, thank you. I'm going to take the Mount Everest Sunday, the one that's $13 with 9 scoops of ice cream. And they're like, oh gee, we were kind of hoping cheesecake. Like, it's not the end of the world. Your steak is a little underdone. It's not like you had a horrible experience, but you went all out and got the big dessert. This is the same thing. You did it right. Tebow will be called up. Then you went all in on Rookie of the Year conversations with Tebow.
The reason why I did that is because, you know, what if it was to happen? I'm, you know, very hypothetical. God. I know it won't, but what if it was to happen? Could we actually imagine in our head that Tim Tebow would be a rookie?
Let me tell you something right now. If Tim Tebow, I swear I will do this. If Tim Tebow gets to the majors and he is a Rookie of the Year candidate, I am running to my local church and I'm going to confess every sin I've ever had because the end is coming and coming fast. It is coming fast because this is God's last practical joke on mankind. You got that? This guy didn't play organized baseball 10 minutes ago, right? And he could be a Rookie of the Year candidate if that actually is happening. Just, we're all dead. It's all done.
It's the second coming.
But back to the first part, I honestly think he's getting called up this year. I don't think there's a doubt.
I do too.
I think Noah Syndergaard brought that up in his tweet when he was on the plane. He said over on 20 games. Hey, he thinks he's going to be playing.
He got DeGrom an extension.
Yeah, he's magical with that Twitter, isn't he?
So, I don't know. Speaking of the Mets.
Yes.
Here we go. Your favorite, my favorite player, or pitcher, I should say. The Mets will have figured it out. So Jacob DeGrom will win at least 20 games this season.
They're off to a really good start, aren't they?
Hey,
they did not.
He's 1-0.
They gave him 2 runs yesterday. Luckily DeGrom went, okay, we're doing this again. Good enough, I guess. But guys. And oh, by the way, Robinson Cano was the only Met that drove in runs yesterday. So it's like all the other Met batters were like, nothing I can do, man. I'm sorry. And Robinson Cano is like, aren't you supposed to support the guy who's pitching like with 10 strikeouts and throwing no hit ball? I guess that's what you're supposed to do around here. And the other Mets are like, you'll learn. You don't have to do anything. You just chill out. So no, 2 runs. They gave him 2 runs.
2 runs.
Can you see Met fan just going, God, really? Guy tossed like 8 scoreless innings. It was yesterday. Yeah, it was
6-inning pitched. He gave up 10 strikeouts, only 1 walk. And he gave up 5 hits.
Only 5 hits. He probably walked in that clubhouse, looked around, and goes, we're going to do this again? Seriously?
Well,
seriously,
they did,
guys?
They did spot him a run to lead off the game.
Yeah, that's right. Cano had a home run, right?
Yeah, Cano got it in the first inning.
Yeah.
And then they didn't score their second run until the 8th inning.
What a joke. You'd think they would have gone all out yesterday, be like, listen, we really failed this guy last year, right? He didn't give up more than 3 runs all season. and we couldn't get him enough weight. He was 10-9. Let's give him some runs, guys. And they went, nah, same old Mets.
Yeah, no, they left five guys on base, too.
Oh, my God. Jacob DeGrom. Oh, goodness. Well, All right.
And finally, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry will reach new heights as the division will be decided on the final day of the regular season.
Oh, God, I want to buy this so bad.
Both will still make the playoffs.
Oh, that wouldn't be as fun.
Oh, you want? We can switch it up because I have a feeling there's a National League West team that could make some noise.
Yeah, okay.
We've had it last year. We've had the Astros and the A's.
Yeah.
I think there's a battle there. I think the Twins have gotten a little bit better.
I do, too.
And that's very possible. I mean, you have that feeling that those two are going to run away with the division. But yeah. I think it's just going to be funny that one of them, I still say both of them make the playoffs, but that meaning one of them is in the one-game wild card.
Yeah. All right, I'm liking that. I'm liking that. I think
I want the division to be decided on that final day.
Yeah, me too. That'd be great. That'd be great. All right, I'm buying that. I'll just buy that because it's a good one to do. All right, very good. The baseball edition of Buy or Sell. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, I got a buy or sell for you. NCAA tournament style. Ready?
Yep.
Buy or sell. After this weekend, when the Final Four is locked in, all four number one seeds.
Oof. I don't want to buy it.
Me either.
I don't either. I feel that it's going that way.
Me too.
But I don't want to buy it. I hate when it's chalk like that.
Everyone can scream at me Monday, but I think Auburn is going to beat North Carolina tonight. I think Auburn's going to win that game.
I think Auburn keeps it close. I don't think they get past North Carolina.
North Carolina is so good. I mean, the one thing that worries me, like they are up tempo and they will play any style you want. I mean, you try to slow it down, they'll play. They're fine with that. They'll do a half court game, but they're playing up tempo right now. They're really good. And defensively, they're good as well. Something about Auburn. I don't know, but I'm with you. If we are converging back here on Monday and all four number one teams are in the Final Four, I'll feel a little cheated. Even if we get 1-1, 1-2, I don't know. There's something about that that's more appealing than 1-1-1-1.
I don't know.
Because you know what that means? That means three ACC schools are in the Final Four. It's a little silly.
And they still won't win.
Yeah, it's true. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.